We're live.
When I first sold the very first website I ever did, I immediately had to call a developer friend of mine who came to my house, sat at my kitchen table, and taught me how to use Dreamweaver on pirated software that I got from somebody in college. When I was getting started with WordPress, I had to turn to Twitter, and I found help and an awesome community. And that's actually where I first met Dre, who bailed me out and saved my butt on one of my earliest WordPress projects. As I was learning, I had to turn to the community and I had to get help. When Brian got started with WordPress and programming in general, he had to do the same thing. Other WordPress community members stepped in, they shared code, they pointed him to tutorials, they offered help, all without asking anything in return. Today we're in our 10th year in business. We've come a long way, and we now own all of our software legally. We wouldn't be where we are today without the help and the support of everybody else in the community, and I'll bet many people watching this probably can say the exact same thing, that we're not self-taught, we're community-taught. So just as other people have shared code, have helped you out, have, you know, jumped on Skype or whatever it might have been to help you through a project or something that you were stuck with, I want to urge you to pay that forward and do the people to resources that you know of, plugins that you love, or people that you know that can help them. You know, over the last several years, WordPress has grown so much, and it's experienced a lot of success because of the amazing community that surrounds it and all of the people that are volunteering every day to improve the software and to write the software, software that we all use and benefit from for free. So I was on Twitter the other day and I read a tweet that really resonated when I was thinking about this monologue, and it said, all great people started their journey when they weren't great, but they still got started. So I just want to remind people to remember that new people are discovering WordPress daily, and they may not be great yet, but they have the potential to be great with the support of the community and when they get the help that they need as they're continuing to learn and grow. And by stepping in and offering some encouragement or offering some help and not being a code snob or a design snob or a turd on Twitter, you know, you can help encourage them and continue to, you know, help push that passion and help them continue to want to get involved and do even more and help WordPress take it to the next level. So help others just as you were helped. Get involved, volunteer, and I think that you'll really see that you'll benefit in ways that you can't even imagine. And that's it. I'm Jennifer Bourne, and this is Dreadcast.
From the bowels of WordPress Nation, it's
time. You know what time it is.
All operators are busy at this time. Please hold.
Dread.
For the Dreadcast. Here to talk WordPress news, events, and fizzy pop with community leaders.
Ultimately letting smarter people run the show weekly.
We bring you your favorite Santan alumnus, Brad Williams and Trey Armada. Sit back, folks, grab something to sip on, and get ready to press on. The Dreadcast starts now.
That's right. It's episode 57 of the Dreadcast, and we got a hot one in the old town tonight. Dre, man, I know you are pepped up. You are hyper. You're on like your 10th Diet Coke. How's it going, buddy?
You killed it, Joe. You make some mo. Woo! It's time to get it, baby. Episode 57. I am excited. And the last thing you need to be today is a turd on Twitter. That's all I got.
Wow. I don't know where to go from there. All right. Yeah. So that's a great way to start the show. Turd on Twitter. Okay. Oh man, Dre, it's been a fun week since our last episode. Time's flying. We were talking about it before the show. It seems like we just did episode 50, and here we are on 57. It'll be episode 100 before we know it.
I mean, we're aging a dog in dog years at this point. I don't even know what's going on. It's crazy.
We have, and we got another amazing show for everybody out there today. So let's get right into it. I want to officially bring her on, so she might give you an ultimatum about the supremacy of her identity's legacy, but she wasn't born yesterday. See what I did there? Welcome, please welcome Jennifer Bourne to the Dreadcast. Jennifer, how's it going?
It's going good. Thanks for having me.
Well, thanks for coming on. We're very excited to have you. We've got a lot to talk about. And before we do, I want to know what you guys are sipping on.
Hey, what you sipping on?
I think we are at the third episode, maybe the fourth episode ever in the history of Dradcast to be completely dry. I like it. It's a good thing. You know,
I have sound effect.
There it is. Well, I'll get this out of the way from my end. I am rocking a nice Diet Coke. Boom.
Diet Coke. Jennifer, what non-alcoholic beverage are you drinking? Water.
Just
all right.
Water.
Well, I have water too. So here's the hydration.
and sticking this stuff down your throat, not good.
Diet.
All right. Well, a lot to talk about. We typically get into a nice interview segment, Jennifer, and that's exactly what we're going to do today. I'm excited to have you here. We go back a long way. I'm excited about this. Who would have ever thought back then that we would be on the world's finest WordPress podcast together, chatting about Jennifer's history and WordPress involvement and all the fun things that led her to today? So let's talk about that. Where did this all start? How did you get involved with the web, with WordPress? How did that all kick off?
I've always done design. So my original major in college was electrical engineering, and it was so boring, and I totally hated it. And I worked for a woman who owned her own ad agency at the time who said, there's this thing called graphic design. You probably should, like, look at that. and I did, and I changed my major, and I graduated with my degree in design, and I went to work as a designer at a publishing company and a PR firm. And the PR firm agency life was not what I wanted at the time. I had a tiny little baby, and it was crazy, and I worked for my immediate boss was a great guy who said, you know, if you really want to be successful freelancing, you probably should learn the web. And helped me kind of navigate that first little bit. And then when I, you know, ended up quitting and going out on my own, friends were my lifeline. I sold website projects I didn't know how to do, and they would come over to my house and sit down and do them right alongside me on the weekends and help me out and teach me how to do it. And that's how I learned. And WordPress kind of came about. I was using a different CMS at the time, and I was looking for options to make content revisions that I did not have to make them anymore. I hate that. And I found WordPress and was like, wait a second, what? They can make their own changes? What? I don't have to do it. I'm done. I'm in. And we started to have people ask, do you do WordPress? And I thought, sure. And I jump on Twitter, does anybody know what WordPress is? And that's, I think, how I found you. And then it all spawned from there.
That's awesome. So WordPress now becomes something that you're working on. How does it branch out from there? Is that something that you decided to continue on as your staple? Were you doing other work when you were doing these projects, or was that really the direction that you decided to go?
We are we're a full service design agency, so we do everything related to design. So at the time, my background's in print, so we did, you know, brochures and catalogs and postcards and logos, you know, and all of those other things. And I started adding in websites as I got better at them. And then once I discovered WordPress and we really dug into, you know, WordPress and what it could do, we made the decision at that point that we were only going to build on WordPress and we weren't going to build on any other platform or build any other type of sites. And then it took some time. You know, we started with WordPress in 2008, and I would say those first couple years, I'm so sorry if I did a site for you then, because they probably were just terrible. But we really found our groove, I think, in like 2010. We started working with Genesis in 2011, and then we just kind of went all in from there. And it's been a shift as the business has grown. All of our marketing is focused around WordPress sites and built around delivering WordPress services, but then we back those services up with all of the other design things that our clients need. So their foot in the door is a site, and then they usually stay with us forever to do all of the other things that they need for their business.
So let's step that back a little bit, because I heard plural in there. I heard we, and I'm hearing full service shop. But you got to start somewhere, and you started out, I think, as a freelancer before you took that step. How did that decision come about? You know, you get to a point as a freelancer where you go, well, you know, is this going to be just a fun hobby? Am I going to kind of sustain at this level, or is it something that I want to expand? Can I expand? Where do I go from here? What prompted that, and how did that look? How was Born really born?
Oh, Born was born. Actually, it was Brian's idea. He was like, don't people like this? Don't people like you work for themselves? He was home all the time with the kid, with our baby. We only had one at the time. And he's like, don't people like you do this? So I had quit, and I had been freelancing for a while, and it was lonely. I didn't know anybody else who freelanced. I didn't know anybody else who worked at home. I had reached out. I think I had Googled, like, working moms or something. I found some women's business networking group in my local area, and I started going to that, and then I started going to some other networking groups, and you know, business grew, but I started to see that I was only, you know, when you're just one person and you're just a freelancer, you know, the growth can be difficult. Mm-hmm. And perception can be difficult. And when it's all about, here's what I can do, and, you know, and all of that, and it's all about you as that one person, you know, people expect you all the time. They expect to be able to get you all the time. And there's some perceptions that come along with freelancing, like you're maybe flaky, or, you know, you're not working all the time, or, you know, oh, you just kind of do your own thing, but it's not as serious. And it was important to me to really look at, you know, I'm not just freelancing. I'm not just doing some art in my kitchen. You know, I wanted to really grow a business, and I had the intention for it to not always be me, or for it to not always be Brian and I. So we really had to make the shift of stop to no longer refer to myself as a freelancer, or to refer to either one of us as freelancers, but to look at our business as a business. And that's when, too, I think you stop coming first and your brand starts coming first. To where you don't always do what you want, but you do what's best for the brand and what's best for the business.
Which certainly could still bring the stigma, maybe not as awesome as other brands, or even better than other brands. So that freelance kind of thing, I think, carries over in a sense. But I think that sense of togetherness or growth, the opportunity and the perception certainly shifts. I think that starts to grow along with that brand. Over the years, I mean, obviously rooted in design, which excites me. That's something that I've been around since I can remember, digitally specifically. What is your core competency today? You talked about WordPress, certainly. You talked about Genesis a bit. The design component is there. What is that big push now?
So my core competency or the business itself?
Oh, well, let's move away from, you're not a freelancer anymore. I'm just telling you that you're now your company.
So as a business, our core services, probably about 80% of what we do is custom built WordPress sites, custom one-off sites. So we do build on the Genesis framework, but we have our own starter theme that we've created over the years that has, you know, what we need in it and is done the way that we like. And so about 80% of everything that we do is custom WordPress sites, and then the rest is all of the other design work that comes along with that. We've gone from, you know, 1 to 2 to 3 to 4 to 5 at one point, to 4 to 3 to 2. And then we're looking at going back to 3 to 4. You know, it's right now it's just Brian and I again, and you know, ironically, we've had the most profitable gross and net quarters ever, which is great, back to back. And we're turning out a lot of work. I do all the design and like the marketing and things like that, and Brian does all the dev and then runs the business. And we're looking to hire. So
looking to hire.
Sorry, Jerry, what's that like working with your husband? So I work with my wife, and a lot of people, so I love talking to other couples that kind of work together, because a lot of people immediately come up to me and they're like, how do you do that? Like, you guys are together 24/7 every day. And I'm like, I mean, it's not for everybody, but it works for us. So I'd love to hear from you. You know, how do you guys, because obviously you found something that works. You found a way to do it and then do it very well. So how does that work for you two? How do you work together?
I think, you know, we approach working together the same way that we approach life together, or managing the house or the kids or the family or anything else. You know, we met when we were 18 and got married. I was the day after I turned 20, and now it'll be 15 years in September. So we kind of I don't really know how to be an adult without Brian, really. So we kind of bring all of that into our business too. And one of the things that we realized really early on is we don't share space. We don't share offices. We don't share desks. We don't share anything like that because I'm a piler and he's a neat freak. there is nothing like that. So, you know, a lot of times people wonder, you know, how do you spend so much time together? And, you know, we're in separate rooms with headphones on and we use HipChat to communicate back and forth. We have office space outside the house that he goes and works at as well, because he has a harder time focusing and tuning out the house stuff when we're at home. But I think too, it's setting boundaries. Like, if I'm cooking, you not better not be on your computer, and you better be in the kitchen talking to me, period. You know, so it's just little things like that that you can't be working all the time. You have to know when to shut it off. You know, 5 o'clock, things have to shut down. And some days are not like that. And some days, you know, Brian threatens to quit, and I'm like, you can't quit because I would fire you first. So there, you're my employee technically. So like,
try me, sucker.
But you know, you go through that, and you know, it is what it is. And if anybody says anything different, I would say you're probably lying.
I mean, I really suck at this whole thing. Now I'm like questioning myself. Thanks, Jennifer. I really appreciate that. What I can't question, and what I am excited about, is 10 years strong now. So congratulations to that.
Yeah, that's amazing.
We're in our 10th year. Yes.
Where should people go if they're interested in working with you? Because it sounds like you said you're hiring. I'd like to get some folks pushed that way. That sounds awesome. Should they go to your site? Where should they go?
Yep. I think it's borncreative.com/jobs. It's off our contact page.
All right. Last jobs. Check that out. One other thing that I'm excited about asking, and when I was going to ask, was more generically, where next? 10 years, you're looking to grow maybe again a bit. What happens next? And I think that you've got some news about something you want to announce or something to that nature.
Maybe something. Maybe.
Yeah, Board Creative is good. Things are good. You know, we have more business than we can handle, which is great. You know, we're looking at growing, and Brian and I, you know, stepping, you know, back so much from being in the daily, you know, doing all of the time, but actually getting to be in the role of, you know, creative director and business owner and really drive the business forward more. So we're looking at growing the team there. We're working with, you know, bigger clients that are going to be requiring more support. And then also we are getting ready to launch a secondary business. So we've got entrepreneurthemes.com. The landing page is up. We are going to be selling WordPress themes, woo! But not just themes all by themselves either. You know, I've got 10 years of content creation under my belt and a lot of content created and courses I've done and workshops I've done. So we're really packaging all of those materials together to offer them with themes for entrepreneurs who are, you know, starting up a business. So it's not like, here's a theme, here you go, figure it out, and then good luck with your business. But it's here's then all of these resources that we can provide you to help you get on your way and learn what you're doing and navigate the space online.
Well, I look forward to seeing where this goes. It looks like you've got the initial landing page up here with some updates that you can sign up for.
That is right.
Definitely working through with Genesis, which is exciting. That's neat stuff there. Great framework to be involved with. When should we expect some awesomeness beyond this landing page here on Entrepreneur Themes?
Oh, we probably need early 2020.
Not that I'm putting you on the spot or anything.
Well, you should ask Brian that, because you should ask him how much stuff he has to get done at Basecamp right now.
Oh, yeah.
But we're looking at probably early 2015.
Very good. Very good. Well, that's exciting news, and congratulations on that. I wish
you
the best on that venture, and I will certainly be keeping tabs on that, because maybe we'll have spots in later shows to talk about that. So
that'd be awesome.
Super cool, and looking forward to it. Wow. Well, I mean, you know, often we have various things that we're good at. I asked you about your core competencies. You look like you're doing a lot of WordPress-based stuff. Genesis is a part of that. How do you get this out there? How have you grown this? I mean, it doesn't grow on its own. Certainly word of mouth is great, but there's got to be some type of marketing effort, things that you're doing there. You talked about content creation. That, to me, is one of the biggest impactful portions or parts of network or of marketing, along with social media networking and various other things. The brand, we talked about that earlier. How'd you do it? Where do people go? I mean, how do they get to this stage?
I think content marketing and content creation and blogging, I would say, is probably the number one thing that brings new people to our site and drives people into filling out that new project inquiry form to get in touch with us. But before that, even, no one can hire you or buy from you or get on your list and learn from you if they don't even know that you exist. So your job is to get out from behind your computer as a business owner and to get out there and meet people and tell people about what you do. So you have to go to networking events, and you have to go out there, and you have to tell people who you help, you know, who your ideal client is, who would be a great client for you, what you can do, how you can help them, and how they can get started, or how people can refer their friends and family and things like that to you, because it's the only way you're going to be able to get in front of those people and to grow. And I think, you know, when I first started my business, I did a lot of local networking, like I mentioned before, and it was great. I grew a big network in my local community. I did a ton of business. But as the business grew and we continued to increase our prices, it stopped being a good fit. It started to get to a point where I wasn't seeing the return on investment in networking and things like that, and the time out of the office, the loss of billable hours and things like that. So I had to shift your networking. I started attending conferences. Now, if you think about this, if you go to a local networking event, you have one or two ideal clients in a group of maybe like 30, 40, or 50 people. Or you could go to a conference where there's 500 to 1,000 and get in front of a lot more people, especially if you go to a conference that's teaching people how to grow an online business and telling them they need WordPress. And that's what you do. So when people say, what do? And you say, you know, all that stuff, that's what I do. And they want your card and they need to get started because they want to be successful.
Here's
so it was
money.
A natural place. I went, well, that's where I'm going to spend a lot of my time. And I did. I spent a lot of my time going to these entrepreneurial conferences and built up this big network of people in the online entrepreneurial world that refer a ridiculous amount of business back to us now. And, you know, it's just about getting in front of the people that are going to spend money or that are ready to spend money. You know, on the pre-show we were talking a little bit, there's a lot of people that write blogs and all of these things, designers and developers that write blogs for other designers and developers, but they're never going to pay you. That's great, but I want to market to people who are going to pay me money. So my efforts are focused on developing content and getting in front of people who need the services that we have to offer and helping them understand that we're the best choice and we're the right fit.
It's not always about building audience, but the right audience. Couldn't agree more.
That's
awesome.
Right.
Well, we are excited for you. We're excited for Born Creative. We're excited for Entrepreneur Themes. A lot of good things coming out of your camp, so really stoked for that. A lot of great things going on this week that we want to talk about. So, Bradford, let's move on to pressing topics.
Let's do it.
Topics of the week.
Boom, shakalaka. Here we go with a lot of stuff being released. We've got 4.0 release candidate ready for testing. If you haven't started testing, you should. WP Tavern dropped another article on that talking about some of the stuff that you should be checking out in the 4.0, upcoming 4.0 release. Release candidate is out. Beyond that, Brad, I don't know how much you've had time to play with that. BuddyPress 2.1 beta. One is out as well, so a lot of good stuff on the table this last week that we should all be checking out, playing with, exploding, and writing tickets on so that we can get them fixed and get these things into a workable
state. I'll have some props in BuddyPress 2.1, so I'm stoked about that.
Aw, yeah. Shuck-a-ducky.
My code is in you, BuddyPress.
Just terrible. I haven't played with the new BuddyPress too much, but, man, they're... I'd love to see the regular releases. They have just been crushing it, so I'm excited. To see where they're going with that, and really cool to see you partaking in that and getting some love on this next release.
It's kind of fun how WordPress and BuddyPress have been kind of in line with since the last release and kind of rolling out new versions right around the same time, which is kind of cool to see that. So hopefully that keeps up. I know they're not trying to do that. It's just kind of how the schedule's working out. But 4.0, looking forward to that. So they're looking to release it next week is the goal. So could be seeing the final version of 4.0 right after the holiday weekend here in the U.S.
Yeah, I think that the official release was targeted to be this week. In fact, Monday, the 25th. So that pushed a little bit, but man, that's pretty dang close. A lot of great stuff being worked into it, and RC1's now is live and being beat up. So
yeah, I'd like to hear, Jennifer, anything you're looking forward to in 4.0? Anything that really stands out to you that you're excited to see?
No. No. No, I'm, you know, I leave all of that up to Brian. He tracks everything, he watches everything for us, and he tells me everything I need to know.
Well played, well played. So after you retire from Bourne, you're going to become a politician. This is what I'm hearing.
I may.
Oh, man, I love it.
That's great.
Yeah, it'll be interesting to see how this all comes about and what so being 4.0, being that big number, and we've talked about this on a few different episodes, it being such a big thing when you're releasing a large, you know, number like that. Oh my gosh, WordPress 4.0. And we're not going to see the releases that people are expecting. I'm still very curious to find out how large media, away from maybe the WordPress community, treats the release, and whether they give it sour reviews because of that, or if they praise it because of the actual underpinning things that have been added and foundational stuff that's been...
They'll give it sour reviews.
It's going to be sour reviews.
Yeah. It's happening. It's already happening, so...
Yeah, I don't understand it. I mean, I guess that's just the way that software development works.
I think it's the way our minds are kind of set. Like, if you're not in the community, you don't understand how releases work with WordPress. Our mindset, 2.0, 3.0, 4.0, those should be big releases. There should be something huge and a whole new rewrite or a whole new UI or something should happen in those. And that's just what we've been brought up around software, right?
Mm-hmm.
And WordPress does it a little bit differently, like they do with a lot of things. So I don't fault people necessarily that don't understand that. If you're not really in tune with the community and how WordPress development works, you know, you wouldn't know that. But, you know, it's unfortunate, but it's life, I guess.
C'est la vie. Well, so another cool announcement out of the Automattic Camp this week, Matt put out, and it was also on the Jetpack website, that Automattic has acquired Brute Protect, a security firm. Doing actually various things. It's kind of interesting to see where this ends up and how this relationship continues to grow. I think that, when you look at Brute Protect, brute force attack protection is really what they've started out as. But it's extending into blacklist warnings and malware scanning, a few different areas that haven't really been attached beyond what you see maybe in VaultPress to Jetpack and the Automattic Camp. I think that the first big win here will be in the WordPress.com world and seeing Brute Protect and how they integrate there. But certainly, I think that there's going to be some huge advantages to seeing it implemented in Jetpack, which is across I don't know how many millions of installs of WordPress now, and adding that instant brute force attack protection from what they're saying for free. What's your guys' take on this?
I think it's going to be interesting because this kind of brings a new... element or new dynamics to Jetpack as another, you know, obviously you're saying it's going to be a free service, but there's no reason it wouldn't turn into a more premium service, which they do currently offer now through their website and their tools. So it certainly opens the door to a lot of that. I think obviously, Dre, you know, you have a big security background. I speak on security a lot. So anything that's going to help protect WordPress websites is a win, in my opinion. I think it's just that other, you know, we just keep seeing Jetpack grow and grow and grow into this behemoth of a plugin. It'll be interesting to see where these kind of services that you activate in Jetpack, but they're kind of handled through a third-party service, how that ends up in the next year or two, if it does turn into a premium kind of upgradable space, another revenue generator for Automattic maybe.
I still think availability is a question here, right? So I certainly think that I agree that if the more that we're able to add in terms of controls to minimize the risk with these types of things, brute force attack being one of them, it's a no-brainer. It's a win. But my challenge is more on availability of websites. When you're installing security from the server as a plugin within the system, that doesn't leave much room for all the traffic that's maybe bombarding that site. And I think that is still a major problem. And I want to see security really move not just from the dashboard, but beyond the dashboard onto the edge so that you're protecting before that traffic ever makes it to your website. I think that that is where we'll really start to see a decrease in the amount of attacks that we're seeing on WordPress sites today. That's kind of my take.
We have Jeff Rowe from WP Tavern in the chat room, and he mentioned that Sam Hotchkiss, who's the founder of Brute Protect, will be on the WordPress Weekly podcast, which is right after our show at 9:30 Eastern. So if you want to hear a little bit more about Brute Protect and maybe how that's going to work with Jetpack and the integration, tune in to their show.
Well, I will say to Sam, congratulations on the merger acquisition, and I wish you the best. I mean, hey, there's only one reason why I would have been purchased. It's because you're doing kick-ass stuff, so continue being kick-ass. That's freaking cool news, man.
Feel free to purchase a Dradcast. You can roll us right in Jetpack, too. That'd be cool.
In fact, you can be our guest host every week. Just throwing that out there. Dang it. Security. Security. I don't even know what's going on with security these days, man. I have no idea, Brad. What's going on with security, man?
Well, we're not getting hacked yet, so that's good. That's a plus.
Another big announcement in the product world this week, coming out of the crowd favorite and iThemes camp. They've teamed up or partnered up. It's kind of the actual news releases are a little bit obscure, maybe ambiguous, as to what is really going on or how they're going to be partnering up and the business they're doing together moving forward. Certainly talking about the products that are coming out of the iThemes camp, which are great products and do really well, and bridging crowd favorites, maybe demographic or experience in the enterprise market, so that there's a way to get those awesome products into that enterprise space. Beyond that, I'm not really sure what they're doing. I mean, it almost gives me the air of some type of full merger, but that's not really what they're saying here. So there's talk even on the crowd favorite website about acquisitions and then partnerships and so on, but this seems more than just a regular partnership. I don't know. I don't know if I'm reading into it too much, but any take on this?
I think that this is really fascinating to watch, because you're seeing,
for sure,
you know, more companies. Well, you're seeing these companies where some are just hiring people like crazy. Like, you take 10 up and they're hiring, you know, hiring and hiring and hiring. And then you look at crowd favorite and their strategy, you know, seems very different. It's been very interesting to watch, instead acquiring, you know, full companies, you know, tucking them in, you know, bringing in, you know, groups of people. Or we look at how they did with Pixel Jar, you know, things like, so their growth and how they're working with people, whether they're bringing in companies or they're hiring in people or they're partnering with other companies or they're, you know, making these strategic alliances has been really fascinating to watch.
Yeah, I totally agree. Definitely interesting to see. And this is, Dre and I, you know, we've talked about this on previous shows, and this is definitely a growing trend and a growing topic. The maturity in the community, we're seeing a lot of you know, acquisitions, mergers, you know, big moves, scooping up big talent, and I think it just shows, you know, all the companies are maturing. So you know, you have to kind of make big moves at this stage in the game, because the small moves have already been made, right? So that's all that's left are big moves. So I'm curious to see where this goes too, because I'm with you, Dre. Like, it definitely sounds like a cool partnership. I think until we actually see what comes of it, it's hard to totally understand what is going to come of it, right? So, I mean, the post on iThemes blog by Corey Miller mentions that, you know, we're going to start seeing, you know, existing products kind of be built and grow in a more enterprise way or with more enterprise features, and also some new potential products coming out as well. So there's a lot of different ways that could go, a lot of different angles that could go. They formed an advisory board with key players from both companies to kind of oversee this. I don't know. I mean, I'm on the same boat, Dre. I don't know where this is going to go. I'm very excited to see where it goes. It's going to be fun to watch and see what comes out of it. I mean, it's two great companies, a lot of great people involved. I don't expect good things, but I am excited to see where they go.
Well, I will say this, that their content strategy here is working because we're talking about it, right? there's that. The second and more important thing I think to talk about here is that two great companies that are deep rooted in the WordPress community have done amazing things for the community over the years. So teaming up just can't be anything bad. Like, I think that it's going to turn into something amazing, whatever that is. Whether I'm reading into this too much or not enough or what have you, I can give two hoots. I just want it to be successful. So kudos to them on the partnership, and I'm waiting to see what we can talk about next time they release a post. You know what I mean?
Yeah, it's. I have a feeling we're going to see stuff. I mean, with these two big companies like this working together, I have a feeling they're going to be moving pretty quickly, and if they haven't already been moving behind the scenes a little bit. So I wouldn't be surprised if we start seeing some big things coming out within a short period of time. I don't think we're going to have to wait a year to find out what's going on here.
So Brad and I are acquiring a taco shop, and we will sell Coronas and work in flip-flops. That's going to happen.
That needs to happen. Oh, man. That really needs to happen.
That would be awesome. Man, years ago, when we started seeing tighter oversight around WordCamps and the way that the organization was handling that and allowing resources and maybe putting process or a process framework even around how these open source driven events that catered to WordPress in local communities were being handled, there was a lot of pushback. There was a lot of people that openly talked about how, you know, the strong hand of the foundation is prohibiting us from really growing this event how we'd like to and shaping it into what our community really means here locally. That seems to have gotten better over the years, at least to a certain extent, specifically after the community summit a couple years ago. But what we've seen here as of late, WP Tech, which was an event being handled in France, there's a developer-centric event, in fact, has decided to take on and kind of push the WP Tech event away from WordCamp Central. And they're stating it's due to these issues that we were seeing years back around how the event is being ran. They're being kind of limited into how they can expand it, how they can bring speakers into that community. Their local community does not necessarily resemble what the WordPress or foundations meaning of word or of local is. How do we get away from this? I mean, we're starting to see stuff stem out of these word camps that maybe should still remain word camps, or should they not? Do we have an existing problem that's going to escalate, or is this something that's just a one-off?
So I have history around a similar topic with this, and I've had my run-ins with WordCamp Central too, organizing WordCamp Philly. It's a challenge. I think anybody that organizes or participates in a WordCamp to the level where you're working with the interaction with WordCamp Central, you probably know what I'm talking about. They have rules in place. I understand why the rules are in place for the most part. I don't agree with all the rules, but they're in place for a reason. I think there's pros and cons of what's going on here. The more I think about it, I'm still a bit conflicted because a good thing that's coming out of this is that we're seeing a lot more of these kind of spin-off, more niche-style camps, or not camps, conferences around WordPress, right? We're seeing, like, business conferences for WordPress. We're seeing little, you know, get-togethers that are micro-focused that would not, they wouldn't and shouldn't really be a WordCamp. And I think a lot of that is spun because of this WordCamp stuff. So that's a positive. I think a negative is that a lot of these camps that are happening are you know, getting a little bit cookie cutter in a sense of a lot of the things you see at one camp you might see at another, and every camp wants to be a little bit different, and they're certainly trying to do that, but there's just areas where they can't be different, right? And there's areas where their hands are kind of tied, unfortunately, by the rules, and they can't have that unique flavor that they want. I mean, the website, in my opinion, is one of the big ones where it's, I mean, look at the last 5 WordCamps I've been to, including my own, all had a very similar-looking website because there wasn't a lot you could do with the theme you're forced to use, unfortunately. And the only thing you're allowed to change is the CSS, so you're kind of stuck. Now, obviously, you two could do a lot more with the CSS than I could do, and we had some great people working on our CSS that made it look very, very pretty. But as a developer standpoint, it's a bit frustrating, you know what I mean?
Well, I think that, you know, there's a ramp-up period for when you split off from a WordCamp. So that's great. Okay, look, I don't like what's going on from a WordCamp perspective. Oh, and they're limiting me. They're strong-arming me into a specific direction. They're limiting me in terms of the way that I can put it out there, the audience that I could bring in, the speakers that are happening there, what have you. But if you decide to split off from there, man, it's going to take a while, really, for in most cases, I would say generally, to make that a successful event, or as successful event as the WordCamp would have been. So there is certainly a ramp-up period there, and I think that you need to kind of consider both sides of that before you make a move. I appreciate oversight and something like that. It's a challenging thing to have 60 to 80 WordCamps a year worldwide and not have some type of oversight so that you're getting some type of standardization. If not, we run into the issues we were running into before. I know it happened. It's happened in meetups. It still happens in meetups and happens at certain camps still today where you've got every marketing, internet marketing genius in there trying to hard sell all their damn products. And look, I think there's room for internet marketing and marketing topics at WordCamps. I don't think there's ever room to hard sell your damn product at a WordCamp. That is not what we're here for. That's not what people should be having to deal with. They should be learning about WordPress, the community as a whole. So when I think of oversight and having that some type of foundation to standardize WordCamps, I get it. It is a challenging beast to tackle, especially when you start to throw in the geographical differences that we're going to face not only across two different continents, but city to city and state to state. And that's the reality. So I don't think any oversight or any framework that they put in place to try to limit some of those issues that they used to run into is ever going to be perfect. It's just they're going to run into problems. There's going to be pushback.
Yeah, I mean, it seems like there's a couple of big sticking points, the website being one of them. The second one was they want to help cover some speakers' travel costs. Mm-hmm. And that was another big sticking point. And to be fair, the WordCamp Central's stance on that is that they want you to focus on local speakers, and if you're local, there shouldn't really be travel costs, right? Because you're local. So, but I think it's hard to. The problem is it's hard to have one size fits all when it comes to guidelines around a WordCamp because you can't. There's so many variables based on size and location and country and whatever, mm-hmm. Like time of year. There's just so many variables. Throwing a WordCamp in Philly is way different than throwing a WordCamp, in the Midwest. Which is way different than throwing a WordCamp out west,
I'd like to see the parameters and things that are set, I think I would totally agree that they need to be there because no one wants to go to a WordCamp and be sold to. But I would like to see some flexibility in maybe some of that being able to bring in somebody or pay, expenses for somebody to come in as maybe like a keynote. Just bringing in different people to do sessions throughout the day. At WordCamp Phoenix, they Skyped in or I don't know if they did Google Hangout, but whatever, Troy, they did Troy's by video. Mm-hmm. And that worked great. But I like WordCamps being local. I like the majority of the people being local, that it can be that community, and having some people come in, from far away, wherever they may be. Like I spoke at Phoenix, if they bring something unique to the table. But I would like to see a little bit of flexibility in there for people who maybe they want to get a great keynote speaker who, it's just really something that their community needs or a topic that they need. But, they maybe can't afford to get there or something like that. Maybe if the WordCamp San Francisco program that they're using to fund, travel for people to come into San Francisco, if something like that might get rolled out on a smaller basis for like a keynote for a WordCamp or something like that, I'd be interested to see where that might go.
I think that there's clear advantages to having localized people, especially when you want to get them more involved in the community. I also think that there's clear advantages to show them that there is community beyond their local area. And I think that if we're not allowing organizers to bring in some of those impactful, long-historied community members that have made a difference, that have helped build this thing for many years, we're really not pushing the value that we could to those that are just getting into the community. So although I can appreciate being localized, I have a strong stand around bringing in folks that are going to teach them better, that are going to bring in that history, because I think that in the long term, that is going to benefit them more than just staying local.
Oh, I think so, too. I mean, you get bringing up people through the meetups and things like that, it's really easy for a community to get kind of insular and into that little bubble of your community, and then you kind of stop learning from what's going on outside. So I do really like the mix.
Yeah, and I think that's more appropriate for the local, right? The meetup, having them drive the WordCamp certainly makes sense. having them meet regularly and having a strong meetup is that local foundation that I think that should step up and then create that WordCamp experience. But from there, it's like, hey, we want to share our local awesomeness, WordPress awesomeness, with the world. Come one, yeah. Come all. Let's all be a part of this together, right? Yeah, I think that would be more the tack that I would take.
And if you have a really active local meetup, and most towns out there do now, if you have an active local meetup, then there's a good chance that most of your local most of your local people have speak at those meetups. So to have a WordCamp and then say, well, we want all local speakers, I get that, and I love having local speakers, and that's who we go after first in Philly, local speakers first. But if it was all local speakers, and you're basically having your meetup at any time. Like, that's like, to your point, Jennifer, like bringing in some kind of a big name or big face from out of town, that gets people excited. That gets people motivated. They want to see that person. They want to hear them speak. They want to, you know, meet them and interact with people from outside the city. Like in Philly, I mean, we're obviously right around a lot of big cities. New York, we get a lot of people from New York and Baltimore and, you know, all over the place, D.C., which is great because we don't get to see those people at our meetups. You know, we get to see them at our WordCamp or at their WordCamp, you know, so it's a great time. So, I love staying local, but it doesn't have to be 100% local, and I think that's what we're all kind of in agreement on with this topic. It's definitely a hot topic, though. If you look on WP Tavern, yeah, there's a lot of comments already, and this was just posted a little bit earlier today, so I imagine there's going to be a lot more comments by tomorrow.
But I think it stems beyond that, right? Like, so it's not just local groups. It's like, you know, hey, the Philly, you know, or whatever WordCamp. I think it's groups in general. You look at the Advanced WordPress group on Facebook. 8,900 members. That's a pretty decent size group. There's a lot of interaction, a lot of discussion, a lot of people learning, a lot of people helping each other. But the moment a big name gets in there, someone that's got high influence in the community, what do you see? You see triple the amount of comments and interaction on any of the given posts that they've put. Just yesterday, the day before, Matt Mullenweg decided to join the Advanced WordPress group on Facebook. He started a thread about, like, hey, if you got any questions about anything, you know, automatic related to WordCamps and what name it, drop it like it's hot. I'm going to come in here and I'm going to answer questions. Within hours, he had over 200 comments on that damn thing. Now, Yoast is in there. There's a bunch of huge names, and when you see them in there, you just see all the posts that they comment on or are part of. You see that interaction. I think it's an important part of growing those local communities is to bring in these folks that have heavy influence and have helped change and mold WordPress over the years.
Dre's in there. I mean, come on.
Dude, I've got like one comment, bro. That's not cool. Why are you bringing up old stuff?
That's actually a really great group if you're not a part of it. Check it out. Advanced, what is it? Advanced WP.
Yeah,
Advanced WP on Facebook.
You got it. Go check it out. Almost 9,000 members strong, doing a great job of getting good content and great help for each other. So go check it out if you're not a part of it yet. Bradford, let's go to Bart Tricks.
Dre? Sure.
Let me show you a bar trick.
Brad. You know, I just realized I've been calling Bradford for a long time, and his name's not even Bradford. I love it.
I think a lot of people think it is because I'm Bradford on Facebook, but yeah, that's not my name.
Oh, man. Well, I'm going to go ahead and kick this off. Brad, I've actually got a bar trick this week.
Well, oh man, we actually have all three bar tricks filled out, and I think that might be only the second time in history that's happened. So what do you got, man?
Well, you know, it's funny because I haven't used the Google alternative, but there's a Google Notes solution, and there is now a plugin to have a very similar, almost identical looking notes area added to your WordPress dashboard. It's called WP Dashboard Notes. If you have a lot of people working on your website coming in, you can leave some really cool notes and you can interact with each other. In fact, I want to say that old Jeffro threw this up on WP Tavern sometime this week. But it gives you color-coded notes with regular notes or list notes. You can make them public or private. You can share them with each other. You add them right out of your dashboard. It gives you a little widget area right there in the dashboard with drag-and-drop lists. And there's you don't even have to hit a save button to save the notes in there. It'll save it for you on the fly there, and you can keep the notes and share them right in the dashboard. So I thought it was really cool. It's called WP Dashboard Notes, and I'll drop a link in the show notes, baby. Woo!
That is a pretty cool plugin. I will have to check that out. I haven't seen it yet.
Yeah, pretty slick. Very cool.
Jennifer, what bar trick do you have over there?
So mine is a site called Iconic. This is something we found not that long ago that I thought was really a neat tool. The website is useiconic.com. But it's icons that are completely made out of, you know, CSS. They're all code. You can choose how they're colored, but they can size along with your responsive site. So as your, you know, screen gets bigger, the icons will get bigger as they get smaller. But not only that, they will gain detail as they get bigger, and they will lose detail and get simpler as they get smaller. So there's a lot of different options, a lot of different things that you can do with that, but it's something that we discovered the other day I thought was really interesting that we're going to start playing around with. And it looks like they've got quite, you know, a good browser support as far as a lot of their, you know, their web font. It does SVG, PNG, there's, you know, different options there, but it's definitely something I'm going to take a peek at using. You can see on their useiconic.com/tour page, you can see a sample of a responsive icon in action as it gets super simple all the way up to one with a lot more detail. I love that it's all done with code.
That is no good. Images. That is creative and scales intelligently, which is pretty awesome.
I have not heard of this. Cool stuff. We'll have a link in the show notes if you're listening.
What is this scalable icons you speak of?
I actually have a bar trick that I prepared ahead of time. Found this handy little plugin on Twitter the other day when I was complaining about pretentious plugins shoving their menus at the top of my menu bar in WordPress. I hate it because you're not that important. Trust me, you're not. So the plugin's called Menu Humility. Wow, I have trouble with that word. Menu Humility. Those two words together are very hard for me to say. And I'm only drinking water, I swear. But this plugin was built by our friend Mark Jaquith, and essentially all it does, you activate it, there's no options, there's nothing. It takes any menu that's been shoved into the top of your menu bar and pushes it all the way back down to the bottom. So it says, this simple plugin shoves these little line-cutting menus to the bottom where they belong. Simple as that. Very easy, very quick. I love the description of the plugin is pretty good. Some plugins, looking at you, automatic, put top-level navs in the first menu group. Yeah, it's kind of annoying. They don't deserve to be up there. They don't need to be up there. Nothing's more important than your content, right? So don't act like it is. Push it back down to the bottom where they belong.
Get off my menu, suck'em. Man. I don't know what's on the menu for y'all, but a couple events coming up here in short order, September 5th through the 7th, WordCamp Los Angeles. I believe, Jennifer, you're going to be there.
I am. Brian and I are both speaking.
Love it. I was going to be there. I was going to, unfortunately. I know you're going to crush it. Have a blast at the event. I won't get to see you there, but I think I may get to see you at San Francisco here October 23rd through the 25th. Yep. Is that about right? All right, so
yep,
first cold beverage.
I'm doing a lightning talk there, too.
Woo-hoo. First cold beverage, water, is on me. Maybe a glass of wine. Who knows? We'll see what happens.
You're up.
WordCamp here are coming up September 27th through the 29th. We've got Prestige Conference, October 3rd through the 5th. Beyond that, there's plenty of events coming up. I think 13th or so of December is Las Vegas. That'll be that in San Francisco will be the next two events that I'm at. Bradford, you are at San Francisco and Vegas, right? We're going to get there?
I told you, man. If I'm going to Vegas, I'm buying the ticket the night before.
Hey, yo. That's how we roll
ahead. I'm not getting a room. I'm doing it just straight up Vegas style.
I want to go to Vegas. Where are you staying? On the streets.
Man, I'm not staying anywhere. You said I'm going to sleep.
Terrible.
Well, if you go to Vegas, then I look forward to seeing you there, too.
Yes.
I think we're going to end up going to that
one,
too. That'll be LA Prestige, San Francisco, Las Vegas, and then we'll wrap it up with Pressnomics.
Oh, you're not busy at all.
And it is.
Yeah, it's so much more fun now that we travel together.
Event season in the house. Pressnomics 3 coming up January 22nd through the 24th. You got to get there. It's going to be awesome. Jennifer, it's been amazing. It's been an amazing run. I commend you. I'm glad you were on the show. Thanks for coming. Where can people find you on Twitter, Facebook? What's the best place?
Always on our website at borncreative.com, no E like the movies, or always on Twitter at Jennifer Bourne.
Awesome. Mr. Bradford, Brad Tholomew, Bradalicious. Where can we find
you? You can find me on Twitter, WilliamsBA.
Well, one thing's for sure. We have only had a handful of people, three, I believe, that have that when they've been on the show that we've had a sober show. So that's good. Not very often do we all have our bar tricks on before the show starts. But one thing's for sure. We've never had a sober show where all the bar tricks are on before the show. So this is a Dragcast first. 10 years ago, a new star was born. Congratulations for that, Jennifer. It's been great to watch you and your successes over the years. Not all of us, however, are born creative. It's a hard world to face alone. Some of us have to work harder than others. And quite frankly, most of us should be venturing out and asking for help. Trust me when I say it's okay to do that. In fact, most of us dramatically decrease our chances of failure through our relationships and the partnerships that we build over time. It never hurts to get a little help or a little nudge from those that have been there before us. The tweet Jennifer referenced earlier is truly meaningful. All great people started their journey when they weren't great, but they still started. Ultimately, we have to start somewhere, or the alternative is we don't start at all. If you haven't taken the plunge, what the heck are you waiting for, really? If you have already jumped into the water, it's now your turn to step up and help someone else in need. If you haven't helped someone who's just getting started, just remember that he or she who serves almost always benefits more than he or she who has served. As a great Charles Dickens has once said, no one is useless in this world who enlightens the burdens of others. It's time to start your journey, do good work, and remember to always help others where you can. Who knows, it may get you to a point where you too own all of your software legally. For the Rad and Drad, I'm the Doctor. Thanks for joining us on episode 57 with Jennifer Bourne. We're out. Booyah!
Booyah! There you have it, folks, the latest edition of the Dradcast. If you dig the show, make sure you pass it on. If you have content for the show, want to submit to be a guest host, or just want to listen to older episodes, visit the Dradcast website at dradcast.com. While you're there, make sure you click the iTunes subscribe link to catch us on iTunes.
Don't forget to follow at Dradcast on Twitter, and we thank you for tuning in.
Join Dre and Brad plus a new guest host next week.
Yes!
On another episode of the Dradcast. Yeah.